Mama always said Technorama was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Get away from me, you geek!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractor. Cardinal gram meters. 6 hydrocopic Margo veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Technorama. The more you listen, the better you feel, so listen to Technorama between every meal.
And don't forget to brush.
I was just, I was kind of singing the Beans, Beans, the musical fruit thing, and that came to mind. So, this is show number 67. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me is my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Tired, but a little frazzled, but otherwise, okay.
Glad you made it this time.
This time?
It was a bit dodgy. Well, I've
talked to you every Sunday and Wednesday night since June, and you say this time?
It's good to have you here.
How much more reliable can I be?
It was a bit dodgy for a minute there.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is, with me, you get the 99.9% uptime.
Well, you covered my butt a couple of times.
Yep. Me and RoboChuck hung out.
Well, I'll tell you, last night was kind of fun. I had sort of like our own local version of Twit. We had a bunch of... I was really tempted to podcast it, but it just wasn't a recording environment.
My
former boss, neighbor, who's probably going to move away, friend guy. See, he used to be friend, neighbor, boss, but he's no longer my boss, and there's a for sale sign in front of his house. So
he's
hoping
we
can hang on to that last friendship thing. And I'll just refer to him as Bob from here on out, except it's confusing because there was another guy named Bob there. But long story short, they get together once a week at one of the local small eateries. There's Wi-Fi there. One of the Bobs has all of the the news articles and things from the latest week that he gathers up. I'm working on getting him to do a wiki instead of hard copy. Everybody opens up their laptops and we have geek discussions for an hour. Hey, you hear about Sony did this and Microsoft did that and the government is in the news and yada, yada, yada. There's like 45 talking points on there and keeps the discussion going for a couple hours.
It reminds me of my father-in-law. He has a... He does ham radio stuff, and whenever we go out to California, why don't you come to breakfast with me? Okay, so we go to breakfast, and I get to hang out with a bunch of ham geeks for a while.
Sounds like when my father-in-law asked me out to breakfast, and I get to hang around with an old bunch of World War II veterans, which is really interesting, and I am going to record it one of these days because they're dropping off.
Hey, God. Well,
every time I only get there like 3 times a year, and about once a year they're missing one more of the old timers club. But that's a different story for another time.
Yeah.
Coming up in tonight's show, after we do On This Day in Tech History, we'll be right back with some of the Christmas wishes. We have a strange story about my text message that I got last week on my phone, and part one of our 3-part interview with Patrick Norton.
Cool.
So until about 2 minutes from now. Hasta la vista.
Dropping off, my gosh.
On this day in tech history for December 22nd, 2005. This is December 22nd. It's the 356th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. And there are only a scant 9 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1937, the Lincoln Tunnel opens to traffic in New York City. And in 2001, the first clone pet, Cece the cat, was born. Suppose that makes it a birthday, which would be right in the birthday list. Happy birthday on this date in 1805 to John Obadiah Westwood, the British entomologist. And Vladimir Alexandrovich Fock, the Russian physicist, was born on this date in 1898. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 22nd, 2005.
Airing his thoughts online since 1985, you're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
Moving right along. We've been getting a lot of good feedback from people this last week. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
We got Scott Reynolds.
Hey, that's pretty good.
We already covered that one. We got an email from Scott Reynolds who says, I don't buy that whole brass monkey story. It was funny. We're talking about the story Charles Stell told us about the brass monkeys and the cold weather and, you know, freezing the balls off a brass monkey, basically.
But didn't Charles send us a link to, it was the naval military site that had the link, wasn't it?
Scott sent us a link, and the particular mention about where that term came from, that one about the steel cannonballs and the trays on the decks was never substantiated, is what they said. So it sounds like it just might be popular folklore.
You know what? I have a feeling the story is going to drag on.
You mean kind of like how to make hydrogen out of water on winging it?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, next one from Juan Neverez. Hello, guys. I have a question about something that I found on my computer one day.
It's called a virus.
It was a LimeWire stub installer. Hey, I wasn't far off.
No.
I was wondering if you can explain to me about what exactly is a stub installer, and should it be something I should worry about? I sometimes use LimeWire to download certain files. Is it still necessary for LimeWire to function?
No, I think the stub installer is the little part of the program that you download, and when you run it, it actually goes out on the net and downloads the rest of the, or what actually it's going to install. You know, it's going to, like, sometimes you download.
Is it the stub for LimeWire, or is it the stub for another program?
Say, for example, I know Firefox doesn't do this, but say if you're going to install Firefox,
right,
you download the little quote-unquote installer, and when you run it, it actually downloads Firefox from the internet and installs it for you.
Yeah, I think iTunes used to install that way, too.
There
was like a real small front end, and you bring it up and
QuickTime, I think, did. But yes, you're right. It was like you download a 100K program, and it actually does the rest of the download, and I think it handles doing mirroring and that kind of thing. That's why they use those.
You know,
I think that's all that's for.
After learning what I learned today about malware, if you don't need it, get rid of it.
Yeah, you could always rename it, and if it doesn't complain, then delete it.
True, or throw it in the recycle bin, but even that's still not perfect. We also have an email from Adam in Japan. I think this is the first time I've heard of somebody in Japan communicating with us.
Right.
Hello from Japan. I really enjoy your podcast. I am a sysadmin for the Department of Army, and your podcast helps me unwind on the long train ride home. Honestly, I love the humor. Well, when we get some, I'll let you know.
Wait a minute. What podcast is he listening to?
Ain't that fun? You know, because that's interesting. I heard that people in boot camp can't get the podcast, but apparently once you're stationed, you can. So
what?
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, they don't have internet access,
I guess. They don't have much of anything in boot camp other than a bed to sleep in.
Just download the last 6 months of Technorama and take it with you.
Anyway, I was thinking about something I saw on your base military, on our base military station. Do you know about the NORAD Santa website? I'm not affiliated with the site. It is the Air Force, and I work for the Army. Well, thanks for clarifying that. Your tax dollars hard at work. But it is popular with the kids here on the base who want to track Santa's flight across the continents.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that. It comes up about this time every year. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can track Santa as he goes around the globe. It's kind of funny. If I remember
I can't wait because when I saw that link, I was like, oh, I'm totally going to hang out with my son doing that.
That instead of watching A Christmas Story over and over and over.
No, I'll do. Hey, I got a story. I got a funny story about A Christmas Story.
You mean the movie?
Yes, the movie. You know how is it TBS or something like that? They run it like continuous for 24 hours.
Yeah, every year.
And you know, the first year they did that. You know, I love that movie. I watch it, you know, all year round. But I'm sitting there watching it, and I doze off. And I wake up.
And it's exactly where you left off.
No, I was actually 10 minutes farther into the movie, and I was like, okay, cool. I looked at the clock. It said 3 a.m. I was like, what? Went from, like, midnight to 3 a.m. That was pretty quick.
Scary when that movie is on over and over.
So I went time traveling with the Christmas Story. I love that one.
We also have a Christmas thanks from Mark Shepard. This is a note to Technorama team and the entire FIT membership in general. I stumbled upon tech podcasts in April of this year. Hope you didn't hurt yourself when you stumbled on them. And once I did, I have never looked back. I stepped inside a world that I had never seen before, and he was frightened. Yeah. And was immediately fascinated with it. You mean kind of like a kid is fascinated with a dead frog on the road? That kind of fascination?
You poke it with a stick?
The FIT conglomeration of tech shows made me overflow with glee. And I was already listening to most of the podcasts in that lineup. All of you have brought me so much knowledge and laughter through these months, and I consider what you have done as a Christmas present to me. I hope you consider my appreciation as a Christmas present to you. We do. Thank you for enlightening me and bringing a smile to my face. Mark Shepard of Wichita, Kansas.
I just made the last 6 months worth it.
Mark is an integral part of this show sometimes.
And the chat room.
And the chat room. He is our chat room administrator, bar none.
Yep.
De facto. Our assignment last show, and I know everybody doesn't listen to these the day they come out, but our assignment we asked, and we will take late entries on this, was to get Christmas wishes. To us, to the other listeners, to your parents, to the people in Somalia, I don't know.
Or Japan.
We got one. We got one. This is from our buddy Mad Marv in Hawaii, who's commonly in the chat room also. I think it takes a second or two. There's a blank at the beginning.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv from Honolulu, and I just wanted to say, Mele Kaliki Maka e Ha'oli Makahiki Ho. And if you want to know what that means, just type it into Google. Oh, and by the way, check out the Podcast Expo photo gallery in the wiki.
And a mecha leka hi mecha hiney hiney ho to you too.
You know what's funny? I was going to say that same thing you just said at the beginning of the show. Mecha leka hi mecha hiney ho.
You type it into Google. Yeah, if you can spell it.
I know what he was saying because I've heard it in a Christmas song before.
Oh.
Have you heard that?
I may have heard it, but I couldn't spell it.
Yeah, I think he was loosely translated as, you two guys get off the podcast and close this down because it's driving me nuts. No, we did. We appreciate that, Mad Marv.
That was cool. That was really cool. I appreciate that. And we have our Christmas wishes to you and all the people at FIT. It's been a tremendous year, and I just wanted to pass on our appreciation for you listening, because without you and your feedback and the continual appreciation, you know, it really has been a great year. I'm thankful for the community. I think we've been through this before, but I just can't say it enough. It's been a great year, and I am just, it's really put a whole new spin on life. I honestly feel more confident in what I've been doing, and you know, anytime I have a presentation to give or something, not that I had problems before with getting up in front of a crowd, but I feel like I can now do it as if it were a podcast. You know, it just give that extra presentation, that little extra personality to it, and it comes out. And I, you know, and to have people out there that are going, "Oh, that's cool,"
yeah,
is just an extra neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
How about
I
you?
I agree. Well, you know, I was going to say, ever since I've been on the internet, you know, I've learned a lot just having all this information, you know, I mean, well, maybe not at first, but, you know, over time, more information has been online. I've learned so much more. But it's funny, with especially in the last year with podcasting, coming, it's really brought me towards a community. And I look at, like I said, all the friends I've made, and yeah, that's evident in the Flickr gallery from the expo. But I know, and all the people that actually take time to listen to our podcast and, you know, tell us, give us feedback, call us out on something, or, you know, or tell us we're doing a great job. I cannot tell you how much that means to me. So, anyway, here's to you. I got a Diet Coke. Here's to you.
The community feeling really reminds me of the old days of bulletin boards, when you had that community of people posting messages and in the chat rooms and that kind of thing. That's what it reminds me of, and it just gladdens my heart, because I haven't felt that in a while.
Yep.
And the other thing Marv mentioned was the wiki. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. People are creating new pages and topics.
It's alive!
We just set it up to put show notes and maybe some of those fun and games things. But this week, we have a link to Mark Shepard's photo pics that he doctored up and put on Flickr. So it's a nice convenient place. If you go to the show notes on the wiki, or if you can't remember where to go, it's chuckchat.com/wiki. Click on Fun and Games, and there is a link right there that points to his pictures, and you get to vote on your favorite one. This whole thing is just kind of taken off, and when I saw that on the recent changes page, I went, what the heck? This is great!
By the way, thanks, Madmar, for voting my Leo picture. You know, it's funny, I think I've talked about this before, is I've been... You know, I went and saw the screensavers like the week or so of Leo leaving, so I didn't get to see him. This is like a year ago, April. And then I've been wanting to get a picture with him ever since. And then, of course, the expo, my chance. And when I did, that's the picture I got. So
it's worth the wait.
Was it?
This is Victor Cahill of the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com, and you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama. Say that three times real fast. Now back to Chuck.
All right, reactions. We have had our Geek Christmas Carol, which was put together by the Friends in Tech crew. Very good reactions coming out of that. Thank you again, everybody, for the feedback on that story.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to, if you haven't heard it yet, go to friendsintech.com. /AGCC. That's A Geek Christmas Carol, AGCC, and you can find it there.
A lot of fun doing that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've heard it so many times now between editing and afterwards that now I can play it, and I'm at a certain point, and I go, oh, crap, I haven't even been listening, because it's become one big sound to me.
The only problem is we're getting confused with some others, because there are at least two or three others out there that have done a Dickens Christmas Carol to some extent or another.
Apparently it was real popular this year. But there's a podcast, Christmas Carol, which actually comes out tonight or tomorrow night, I think they said.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a podcastchristmascarol.org. It is separate from us, but I will say that I've heard the little trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty good. It's more of a podcast skew. Theme on the whole thing, where, you know, big media radio and versus podcasting, and I guess Screw Jones, a big media outlet or something. I don't know, but it sounds great. So we look forward to hearing that. So you got that? Do you have that clip, the trailer for that?
I do not have that handy, unfortunately.
Oh,
maybe we can line it up after the Patrick Norton interview, real quick.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They got Scott Fletcher to do the narration.
Hey, he sounds
good.
Voice.
He's got a great voice. You know what? He's a software engineer. In real life, he's a software engineer, and he's got a kick-ass radio voice. I am so jealous.
That's like, you ever watched that show, Dirty Jobs?
Yes.
It was on Discovery?
Yes.
You know that guy that Mike Rowe?
Yep.
Who's on that show? Well, actually, if you listen, he's the voice for all those other shows, like, not Monster Garage, but... He was doing American Chopper and some of his other shows.
Oh, was he? I knew he sounded familiar when I heard him.
Yeah, and because I went and read his bio and was like, oh, that's the guy that does all the voices for all those other shows, the shows that actually have talking over him.
Moving right along.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if they should go on the strange story or the...
Maybe I should try and get him to cut us an ID for the show.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if to put this in the strange story section or the what the chuck, so I left it in the strange story. Real quickly, I got a message last week that just came to my cell phone and said, hey, dork, what's up?
Now it must be Craig again.
It was from a 906 area code, which is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm going, okay, it could be a friend, but I don't know any friends up there that I gave my cell phone number to. So
hey, dork, what's up, eh?
Deleted it and moved on, and a day later, I get the message again. Hey, dork, what's up?
Like, you got a stalker?
I don't know this number. I just ignored it. So I think that was Friday over the weekend. I get one on Monday. It says, hey, Steph, how's it going? Aaron. A-A-R-O-N. So it's clearly a guy messaging to a girl. I couldn't refuse. I messaged back and I said, sorry, wrong number. Chuck. I get one last message from Aaron. Sorry, dude. So I got a wrong number. This guy was firing a message like, you really had to look up the wrong number first.
He's probably sent a text message and he's probably like, why didn't she message me back? I mean, oh, this sucks. Why didn't she call me back?
You know, there's probably only a few permutations that I'd have to try to find Stephanie's text message, you know, based off of mine. Change, you know, 920 to 906 and I'd probably find her.
Well, you know, with billions of dollars in technology to put together a phone network and still get wrong numbers. You know,
have you ever had anything like that happen?
Cell phone call was a wrong number. I had my boss said, here, take my car. He had one of, this is like in 86, 87.
Yeah.
And he had one of his Lincolns that looked like, kind of like as big as one of his old Firebirds, those mid-80 Firebirds.
Yep.
And he's like, here, take my car, and I need you to go pick some package up at the airport. So I took off. And I'm coming around on Interstate 77, going to go pull out. All of a sudden, the phone rings. What the hell's the phone ringing? I've never seen a phone ring in the car before. So I reluctantly picked it up, and then it's like, hey, is George there? I was like, oh, no, it's just me in here.
No, he had to step out.
He had to step out. I said, no, there's no George here. Got a wrong number. Oh, sorry, dude. Bye. You know, just about like what you had. But I was like, my first ever cell phone call, and it was...
Wrong number.
And you know what? It was... I keep thinking about that phone. It was one of those that was, like, mounted on the dash.
Oh, yeah. like the cell phones in the 80s are a thing of beauty these days.
And it was just before the bag phones came out. That's funny.
I had a bag phone for a number of years. Hey, we have one more thing in the strange story category. This is a Mona Lisa made from Rubik's Cubes.
Yes.
This just, you know, you see these things and they go, Technorama, all over them.
Well, you know what? Sadly, I don't know if it's just sad coming from me, but my first reaction was, dude's got way too much time on his hands.
It could be a Photoshop forgery, but it was still cool.
No, I don't think so. It looks pretty real.
You can kind of see the stickers from the other sides peeking through.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
With that, we move on to our interview with Patrick Norton.
Patrick who? I love his antivirus software.
Never heard of him. But joining us here on Technorama, we've got the one and only Patrick Norton. How are you, Patrick?
I'm good. I'm wishing I had a professional introduction like you have.
Let me start on that was professional. That was winging it.
Hey, it's, compared to the way we started DLTV today, that was pretty professional.
Let me start off by saying we love those Norton utilities.
And then Skype died.
I remember using them way back in 19... DLTV. DLTV, sorry. We love Digital Life TV.
I'm the other Norton.
Yeah, that's right.
There's like no relation there, is there? There's no relation between you and Peter. Okay, just checking. Yeah, there's those nerd dot-to-dot things. I'm connecting the dots here. And I went, Norton? Norton? Maybe.
We have large forearms, both of us.
Still, yeah, I've seen Peter's.
Peter has a pink shirt.
I used to own a shirt like that. And he's got more hair than I have.
The part of Peter you didn't see, he was wearing a kilt below the waist. So.
No way. Put me first.
For those who used to watch the Screensavers, I just want to say they can get the core of that show and all the good info stuff from Digital Life TV.
Now, the snappy banter and the incredibly high production value, you have to go to, I don't know where you go for that.
For the one listener who doesn't know about Digital Life TV, I'm sure we have the one listener, tell us a little bit about what it's all about.
I hope it's more than one listener, because, you know, we're trying to grow.
No, we've got one listener of ours who doesn't listen to your show. I'm sure it's probably greater the other way around.
No, I'm sorry. I'm starting to laugh now. We've been encoding.
We
today,
don't care.
Oh, okay. The basically, DLTV, we do it twice weekly. We record it live, shoot it live. We stream it live, and then we make it available in a bunch of different formats over the web. You want to call it streaming video, online video, IPTV, TV 2.0 is my least favorite expression for what people are calling throwing video around the web. But essentially, we're doing kind of the hand-on grab bag of viewer questions, product reviews, and interviews of people in the tech universe, and trying to just share as much useful information and kind of save you from yourself and save your credit cards from bad products. And, I should come up with like a 15-word elevator pitch for this show, it occurs to me, as I sit here and kind of ramble on.
I think you nailed it. I have to give the standard disclaimer.
This show is G-rated.
Usually I'm pretty good about being all G-rated. So got enough time in being G-rated on air.
You're right.
What? I cursed once in 1,400 hours of live television on
and
Tech
you know
TV.
What? And I did see that. I did see that one because I remember watching it going, did he just say what I think he said?
It led to the best, the best email I ever got at Tech TV. And somebody emailed me. There was like 49 emails about it. 48 were like, you guys should curse more often. And one was like, how I need to. And this is when the show was on at 6. So this show didn't go live East Coast until 9. We got this extremely angry letter from this woman that said I needed to learn to modulate my language because her toddlers were watching the show with her. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, lady, I was raised by a sailor. You have no idea how much my language is modulated. But one of the 48 letters, it was great. It's like, oh. I loved it when Patrick Norton cursed. He had the same face, facial expression my cat has when I catch it drinking in the toilet. And I was like, yeah, me and the cat drinking out of the toilet. Sharing the facial expression.
Analogy there. Yeah, that was funny. I do remember seeing that, and it's like, did he just say what I think he said? You know, because it's
Microsoft
like watching...
is doing some weird with the Master Boot record.
That's right.
You remember exactly what you said.
It was an interesting evening. It turns out, though, that there was somebody who cursed on air before me on Tech TV, and it wasn't until somebody emailed in and pointed out that during a recording of John C. Dvorak's show, one of the guests said something extremely profane to one of the other guests, and they didn't catch it until a viewer emailed them after about the third time the show had been, because they were dropping the mics, but it still creeped through if you had really good ears. And I won't repeat what that person said to the other. It was, they were miffed. They were miffed and trying to make the miffage abundantly clear. So. Anyhow, I digress.
That's what this show is all about.
I tell you what, I came out there and you probably remember me. I came out to see the Screensavers one time.
Uh huh.
And
you were that guy in the second row.
That guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was probably the one. Well, I don't know.
Jessica
don't know
still talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, we didn't get a lot of flashers.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just you and that other guy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Craig, Craig. Yeah. Flashing is not the way to get yourself remembered.
Well, I had the black, they black barred me, you know, so you couldn't see anything.
Next time, take the punch cards, all right? Just take the punch cards.
Yeah. No, I was going to say it was pretty cool when I finally got there. Y'all were really nice. And the studio was like really small and everybody was really accommodating. It was pretty cool to actually go in there because I've been, you know, watching for like five years or so before they closed the doors, you know. But that was pretty cool. I think my wife was like more excited to see you than anybody else.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
It was always a strange feeling because it was always fun to watch how people would react to talking to people after the show, especially Morgan and Jessica. Because, you know, especially with like younger guys, it'd be like, you know, and Megan used to get a lot of that too.
Yeah, like, I wish there were girls like you in my high school.
Our kid, just don't know what they look like yet.
Well, I'm sure it's a little funny. People come up to you and talk like they know you, but you're like, you know, don't, you obviously don't, but you're, you know, you're in front of everybody all the, you know, all the time, so.
Oh, yeah, well, I got really lucky. When they launched CDTV, they had a bunch of really hardcore, experienced executive producers, especially on the news side of things. And one of them said to me, this guy named Harry Fuller, he's like, look, you don't understand yet. It's going to take you a while to figure this out, but this is the most intimate form of communications ever devised by mankind. And you are in people's living rooms and their kitchens and even their bedrooms. And in a rare few cases, their bathrooms. And you are inside their home and, you know, on some level, you know, this channel will become, for a certain group of people, become an extension or a part of their family or a welcomed friend or, you know, however you want to term it. And, you know, it's a little trippy, you know, because people, you know, people recognize you or they have a certain set of associations or it's pretty, you know, it's fun. There's a lot of cool people that watch the show.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a sitcom either. Y'all weren't acting. It was like y'all were talking to the people through the screen too. So it was like, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, communication going on there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a very direct form of communication. Or at least, you know, when it worked really well, it was. And that was really fun. It's also led to some really funny moments. My personal favorite, I was using a stand-up urinal at a truck stop in the Central Valley of California. And I was actually on my way back from, it was a Baja race a couple, 3 years ago. You know, and I've got like 15, 18 days growth of beard on my face. And I'm still trying to get what basically amounts to gear oil and tire rubber out of my skin. I'm looking like stage four scruffy. And this guy looks over and he does a double take. And then he just turns over and stares. He's like, you're from the Screensavers. And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, you're Patrick Norton. I'm like, yes, I am. He whips his hand over. He's like, can I shake your hand? And I'm
not
like,
in the bathroom.
Finish up and wash our hands first. And he looks at his hand, and he looks down, and he looks at me. He goes, "Good idea." Yeah. And I was just like, you know,
give me a minute, and I'll help you out.
Yeah, I was just like, I was sitting there, like a little busy right now. So yeah, that was. I mean, there's moments like that was a priceless moment. My wife thought that was just the funniest thing because she was driving back from Mexico with me. She's just like, "You have fans everywhere," and we realized that it was, you know, there's people all over the country who were watching the network, and you'd run into them in places like, you know, in my case, I'd run into a lot of people in truck stops apparently because I do a lot of driving. But you know, we're getting gas at in Utah off of Highway 50. Driving out to Colorado, and this guy's like, "Oh, dude, is it time to get a Mac?" And I'm like, "Absolutely." Yeah. He's like, "All right." My wife's like, "Do you know that guy?" I'm like, "Part of the crew."
Yep.
So it's fun, you know. Yep. It's also kind of amusing, like people, especially in the industry, you find out who watched it in the tech industry, and that can kind of bring you warm fuzzies. Walking out of when we did the stuff in D.C., I think one of the coolest moments I ever had was, you know, shooting one of the, you know, the little opening introduction things where it's like, you know, we're on our way out of the, you know, NSA, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for watching. And, you know, we're sitting there recording, and, you know, there's a stream of people coming out, and there's a bunch of people like, dude, love the show. Hey, you guys are taping here? And I'm thinking,
that's
like,
cool.
NSA, smartest people in government,
that's
scary
cool.
Smart, math
yes.
people. Math people watch my show, and it's like that was a really cool sensation. You know, we were the first video crews allowed into the NSA after 9/11. And
yeah,
was,
I remember.
You
know,
after 9/11.
Yeah, I remember seeing that because y'all were the guy was explaining all the how they gather all the information or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And how they associate all the information together.
Or how government doesn't work particularly well to associate the information because the same level of need to know leads to an incredible lack of moving of the information between departments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they deal with a lot of information. I can imagine it's hard to piece it all together or communicate with several different areas to, you know, come to a conclusion about something.
Yeah. Well, part of what he was saying is like you run into situations where you've got, you know, an analyst, you know, may have to use, you know, go to three different offices and talk to seven different people to to actually live up to the security requirements for access to that particular data set. And what they were doing is creating the hardened form of Linux where they could, you know, they could essentially have multiple machines living inside the same box and thus, you know, live up to the security requirements, but actually set it up so an analyst could have all their data in front of them rather than in seven different boxes around their office or around the floor of their building.
Yeah, because I remember that he had like three monitors running on a desk and they were actually on like three different networks or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually divided up the final version. They could do, you know, not exactly an unlimited, but a whole big number of literally like effectively isolated Linux machines in the same boxes, like 6 or 12. Easily.
Hmm.
Well, that was pretty neat.
That is pretty neat.
Every year, on a special winter day, little podcaster girls and boys wake up early to find something special in their iPods. Little do they know how close they came to losing it all.
Bah, humbug!
The podcast community presents A Podcast Christmas Carol. A special adaptation of Charles Dickens' classic tale of broadcast mogul Ebenezer Scrooge.
Indeed.
And the visitation of three ghosts on Christmas Eve.
And I suppose you expect me to just play this little promo for free.
Visit apodcastchristmascarol.com and listen as Scrooge is shown his tragic future and learns to share the spirit of the Christmas season.
Go start your own radio station. Ha!
A Podcast Christmas Carol, featuring talents from the podcasting community, including Adam Curry,
Senseo,
Leo Laporte, and starring David Lawrence as Ebenezer Scrooge. Visit apodcastchristmascarol.com.
The future is just around the corner.
Take your Gmail account to the next level with the Gmail Podcast. The Gmail Podcast will make you more proficient and teach you features about Gmail you may not have known. In just a few minutes, you'll learn tips and tricks that'll help you stay organized using Gmail. If you don't yet have a Gmail account, log on right now to chuckchat.com and let us know. We'll be happy to send you an invite. Get the most out of your Gmail account with the Gmail Podcast, available at chuckchat.com. You got Gmail.
That's right, it's official. The Gmail podcast was that secret announcement that I haven't been telling anyone for a long time. It's out.
That was it?
Yeah, that was it. You knew that.
I know.
Doesn't seem too climactic anymore, does it?
Nah. No, actually, it's pretty cool.
It is cool. You know what's just amazing me? Oh, before I go on, special thanks to Adam Raymer for putting that sweeper together for me. He's at madtownaces.com, specializes in podcast voice work like that. So thank you very much, Adam. Getting lots of compliments on that sweeper, by the way. It was played on Daily Source Code Tuesday, I think it was. I posted it Monday. It came out Tuesday. Yeah, a lot of people hearing that. We've got over 150 subscribers as of this moment, and I haven't produced a real show yet. It's just cracking me up. I've got a listener voicemail already.
You got a vapor podcast?
Boy, this smells of scam material to me.
A vapor podcast. Hey, we'll just announce a really cool podcast, but never actually make it. Budget cut, sorry.
We did have to do a little bit of refacing to chuckchat.com. It used to be one WordPress installation. It's now three with a cover page. So if you see some weird links and things, please let me know. The Frapper map link on the Gmail page was wrong. So please point those things out.
Or keep this in mind also, if you got an extra download of our last show or something like that, sorry. Because I know that happened to me, actually. In my iTunes, I had the last show twice.
Oh, yes. And some podcatchers will just go download everything. Because when you change the databases, it regenerates the RSS file, and I'm getting a little too technical. But your podcatching client goes, hey, look, a whole bunch of new stuff, and it'll go get...
If the links change, it's all based on the links themselves.
Yep. So, yeah, you're right. Apologies if it's screwed with you like Monday or Tuesday and you got a whole bunch of duplicate shows. That's going to happen when you screw with the feeds and change providers or change the feed in some way.
Just listen to us again.
It's worth it.
Just get caught back up.
It's worth every penny you pay. Yeah. All right, yes. From the Geek Library, we've got one quick site. It's called Log Me In. Although when you look at the URL, it always looks like some Chinese dish, Log Main.
You know what I keep thinking of is hearing Popeye say, "Open Sesame."
It's
Sesame.
It's exactly. It's kind of like Go To My PC in that you can remote control your machine from any other machine on the interweb. And I just found out about it last night at that new net gathering thing. Something in the back of my mind says I've heard of this before, but it really stuck. Saw a quick demo of it. Well, it looks really nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Go To My PC.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Oh, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
See, I don't listen to you.
But I do have a note from... That's all right, I don't listen to you when I'm fooling with the sweepers and things.
What? Huh? Yeah.
The truth comes out. We're not really doing this show together.
Nah.
I did get a note from my friend Bob, who was there last night. He's been using it today. He said, hey, it works great, but you need to switch the remote control preference for each machine to HTML to get it to work under OS X, Safari, and Firefox. The Java version doesn't work on OS X yet. And then he sent me an update a little later that said, scratch that, too slow to be usable in HTML mode. So it looks like there's still some Mac issues there.
HTML? Wait a minute, HTML mode? Hmm, I have to look at that. I did try it with the, I want to say the Linux version, or I pulled it up with Linux, and it looked like it said downloading the Java client, but it never ran or did anything. So
we'll get our crack team on that.
Yeah, we'll do that. But, however, the Go To My PC, I know for a fact did work, so...
Okay. But Go To PC is a subscription service, is it not?
This was that?
Go To PC is a... Go To My PC is a subscription service?
Yes, and the Log Me In has a... There's a free version.
Yeah, there is a free version. You can do that. The only thing that the pay service on Log Me In gets you is a file transfer, in which case I say use usendit.com.
That or set up FTP.
Well, that's not really in the public interest a lot of time, but we are dealing with a lot of geeks on this show, so it might be possible.
I will say it's funny that you brought this up, though, because today, or actually this last week, I think in the last week, they were thinking at work about using GoToMyPC instead of Citrix servers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because not everybody, I mean, I think the licensing and trying to keep all the software up to date on the Citrix servers and the workstations is, you know, just double work.
But so the issue with Citrix servers is you can have many people logging into one box and sharing it.
Yes, but if you already get a box at your desk, why do a server do the same thing?
Go To My PC and use Log Me In would be 1-to-1. Citrix is many-to-1.
What? Yes, I'm saying at everybody's desk, they already have a computer. They're running their own software already. So why have a virtual one?
You're talking about going, like, home users dialing into work and getting access. Yeah. They could just use the same machine. I gotcha. Yeah. Well, that is an interesting take on it.
Yeah, and when I saw this link in the show notes for tonight, I was like, I'm going to check that one out. And they said they had already checked it out at work. That's why... That's why, anyway, it was all kind of related.
Darn those IT people!
But I thought it was a good idea. I was like, well, I got a machine at my desk. Well, you know, why have a virtual machine? The desktop premises aren't there. And this, that, and other. So it was like, yeah, it makes sense. And you know what? They go to my PC. I did log into it from my pocket PC.
Did you?
Yes.
And it worked?
Yeah. You can zoom back and forth so that you can zoom back. and see the whole desktop. It looks kind of small, and click on an area, and then it'll zoom into that area. So well, I could easily move around back and forth to the desktop. So
the old wall on the clock, I mean, the old clock on the wall is telling us it's time to get out of here.
But I'm not done talking yet, Chuck.
Well, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Hey, I wanted to remind everybody to check out the new Frapper map. There is now one officially for Technorama. It's been out there. Some of you have found it by mistake. But if you look on the Technorama page, there is a listener map link there. It goes to a new place. It's not the old...
Some of the overzealous listeners found it.
Yeah. You know who you are. Yeah. The people who download the show before the post is even made into WordPress.
Shepherd.
Joni. Well, there's a Frapper map, and we want to see everybody put their little push pin in there. We figure by this time, everybody's already got a Frapper account, and they're in half a dozen other maps. It only takes 10 seconds now instead of 30 seconds if you're a newbie.
Yeah, and I'm going to start pushing this because I'm tired of just getting my in-the-trenches update.
I get about seven updates now, and everybody is kicking our butts. So I want to see every night, like, 20 new Technorama listeners. And if you really want to check out that Gmail podcast, you can put a push pin there, too. I've made them really tough to figure these maps out. It's Frapper, frapper.com/Technorama, Gmail, or Freestyle. Got it? Piece of cake.
Oh, you got the Gmail one?
Yeah.
I mean, just by itself. You didn't have to put Gmail podcast or anything?
No, it's just Gmail.
Cool. Sweet. Okay.
I'm always looking for the easy route.
All right.
Computer people are lazy.
Here. Yeah, but what?
Computer people are lazy.
Not our listeners.
No, they work for efficiency. We already had this discussion. We do have a bit of a crazy schedule over the holiday weekend, week. You know, I'm out or traveling, and Craig is working, and it just gets kind of weird. So everything will be on schedule except for the show next Thursday, which would normally be dated the 29th, will be coming out dated the 30th. So we'll be doing that one a day late, and then we'll be back on to our regular Monday, Thursday release date schedule.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be out of town that New Year's weekend, but I should be back that Sunday night. It's like,
should old acquaintance be forgot? I love happy, you, man.
Happy New Year.
We'll have a smash cast.
Smash, yeah. All right, well, look here. Here's how you can contact us.
Ba-doom-tsh.
You can go to our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Craig at chuckchat.com or email chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And like we said a minute ago, go hit our Frapper map, Frapper, no E in there, /Technorama or /Gmail. And go put your push pins in. I want to see a ton of them this week.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Do it. Merry Christmas to us.
Yep.
It's free.
It's free. It's
thanks
free.
For listening, yeah. And give them the usual sign off.
101, and to all a good night. I gotta pee.